Welcome, everyone, to the Big Book Workshop 2025. This is week 19 of the recording. Today's topic is step four, the turnaround. A reminder that this is a Big Book Workshop. We are not affiliated with any particular 12-step fellowship. However, we do try to follow the spirit of the 12 traditions. We only wish to be helpful. The goal of these steps is a transformation, a change in the way we think, feel, and behave. This is a way of living that brings peace, forgiveness, and joy. May you find some of that here with us. Welcome, everyone. My name is Joanne, and I am today your facilitator and step guide, and just getting myself ready, doing a deep breath myself, leaning in for the prayer that we're about to do, the set aside prayer. I invite you to close your eyes if you choose to. I invite you to breathe and to find your diaphragm breath, that deep, deep moment that you take where the belly button expands. Relax your shoulders and lean in for the set aside. It is so hard to let go of what we think, of how we've always done it before, or how we think things should go, things should be, I should be. It's so hard to let go of the shoulds. So we pray, God, Spirit, Mystery, please set aside everything I think I know about who I should be, about this workshop, about these 12 steps, my spiritual path, and you. Please open my heart. Please open my mind. And allow me today to have a new experience with myself, with this workshop, with these 12 steps, my spiritual path, and especially with you. And please join me for the serenity prayer. This prayer is so powerful to think about the words and what they mean. Asking for serenity to accept the things I cannot change. I cannot change my past. I cannot change my reactivity or my whatever the addiction or the dysfunction or whatever it is that brought me into this room. I cannot change that part of myself. I'm powerless. So I pray for serenity. And then the prayer goes to courage. I need courage to do the daily tasks, these boring tasks that place me in a position to maybe have a connected day, a day connected to spirit. What are those jobs that I'm avoiding today that take courage? And then the wisdom to know the difference. Every day I keep trying to move back into controlling my reactivity, where I'm powerless. And every day this wisdom comes, I pray, to remind me that's where I'm powerless, but here is where you can take action. simple tasks. Grant me the serenity to God. Please, Spirit, please grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you so much, everyone. Welcome back to the room. And for that extended meditation, as I said, my name is Joanne, and I'm here in Australia, and it is freezing cold. I might have to put on a jumper. And we've had a little bit of a break in these workshops, and we're coming back today and just looking at where you're at. Some of us have been busy working, like working hard at some of this work, and others, what is it, out of sight, out of mind. We've just had a break, you know, that it just, we haven't done anything, and maybe there's this feeling of hopelessness. Here I go again, I'm going to fail again. Here's another area where I'm just not good enough, or whatever my brain tells me. That's my diseased brain that is very quick to point out my flaws. Just for today, we let that go. This space, what we're doing here today, is taking a long walk, looking at the steps, 12 steps. Every day we are working all 12 steps, believe it or not. Brand new. Little children, adults, old, wherever you are. Those steps are a way of living. And what Bill W. did when he created and the community that helped him to build it, this journey of learning these 12 steps that they took, what they're doing there is breaking down how to live in a reactive body, which I have. How to live when my brain tells me things that are maybe unhealthy. And I promise I won't do it. I won't do it again. I won't do it again. And I mean it. And then a week or a day or an hour or a year later, I'm doing it again. I do it again. That's the baffling nature of this disease. Once I start, I cannot stop. That's the physical allergy. Dr. Silkworth described it. Once I start, I cannot stop. Now, the process addictions are more tricky to see. And so I think they're harder. The process addictions are much harder. You can be using and not even know. Like you don't even realize it. And sometimes the way we use in those process addictions make us very, very useful. Because we take over and manage and control. And that's actually really useful. You know, we go above and beyond and we burn ourselves out, which isn't great. But then the next one comes in and then they burn themselves out. It's not great for us. Recovery is finding balance so that you don't have to burn out in those process addictions. Once I start, I cannot stop. That's just to help me remember that part of step one. It's just a phrase. The other part to that step one and the allergy of the body and the allergy of that, the obsession of the mind. Once I stop, I cannot stay stopped. That's the obsession of the mind. So I have a physical reactivity. My body gets hijacked. Lots of reasons for it. Process addiction, substance addiction. So the substance is the alcohol, the drugs, the nicotine. Substance, you put it into your body. Process addiction, that's the relationship issues. That's gambling and drama, addicted to drama. Just chasing gossip, chasing fear. I need more. It's process addiction, substance addiction. And once I start, I cannot stop. I need more. TV, oh my gosh. Watch one show and then you find yourself at 3 a.m. still watching. Maybe not you, maybe that's just me. That process addiction. Once I start, I cannot stop. Once I stop, I cannot stay stopped. And then I work with new people and they say, well, I stopped. I stopped, that time back last year when I was doing it and I stopped myself. And you're like, yeah. But have you ever been up till 3 a.m. or 4 a.m., right? It's not about those times that you stopped. It's about the powerlessness when we can't stop. Because a normal user, a normal maybe body, doesn't ever do that. I'm married to one. It baffles me how he can have one or he can do this once and then say, oh, it's too sweet. I'll put it down. It's like nothing's too sweet for me, right? But he has a little and then says, no, I don't like it. It's too brown or it's too kind of tacky. Or he'll get into a job or he'll watch a show and say, no, one, that's enough. I'll watch the next one next week. I don't, it's like, no, we have to watch the next one now. Because once I start, I want more. I don't even understand what he does. It's like, but he saw in me the creativity and the exuberance and the joy of living, which comes from recovery. And he found that very, very attractive. So the recovery that we can bring when we can take our, when we can find balance, when we can find balance so that we can live in the rest of the world with balance. So once I start, I cannot stop. Recognizing that, that's the powerlessness over the body. Once I stop, I cannot stay stopped. That's the brain that tells me just one won't hurt me. I can handle that person. I can handle that, wedding. I'll be fine. I'll be fine. I can handle it. No, you can't. No, we can't. I don't know. Maybe you can, but I can't. Right? That process, or I haven't SMS'd that person, or I haven't had that particular drug or watch that particular show for so long, I'm fine now. I haven't eaten like that. Once I stop, I cannot stay stopped. My brain has these magical thinking. It gets obsessive. I just need one. One won't hurt me. I'll stop on Monday. I'll start on Monday. Right, all these stories that we tell ourselves. So just hold on to that powerlessness. The last part of step one is that if you read the question is unmanageability. So when you look at step one, it talks about powerlessness over this addiction. It says alcohol, but you put in there where you feel connected. Powerlessness over relationships. Powerlessness over perfectionism. Just change it to suit you today. Powerlessness over my self-loathing, my anxiety, that my life has become unmanageable. My life has become unmanageable. And for me, that's where I don't get enough sleep. The dishes aren't done. I am fighting with everyone. The kids are crying. If I have anyone in my life, I just want them to leave. Like I just want to be alone. That's my unmanageable life. That's what it looks like for me. I'm late to everything. I can't get to appointments. I'm overwhelmed. My hands are shaking. That's all part of step one. And when we identify step one in all its different forms, lack of power, that was our dilemma. Where and how am I to find power? So that moves us into step two, and we need that mystery every day. just before this call, I was working with a newcomer just for a minute, and she was talking about meditation and how her busy brain, she just it wasn't a good meditation, Joe, is what she said. And I said, "All right, stop. We're both going to meditate right now." And I reminded her the way that I was taught to meditate and the way that I teach in this workshop to meditate is to have a moment of connection. So I got her to wriggle her hands. You can do it right now. Wriggle your hands and wriggle your shoulders and wriggle your feet and wriggle your toes. Just have a moment of coming into your senses, your body. Like what's going on for your body, right? Just shake, 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 shake. And then when you're ready, I got her to do a deep breath. So to find that diaphragm breath, just one. And I got her to close her eyes. Take one deep breath. And I said, "Now, find your breath and follow your breath as it enters your body." And we breathe in the love. We breathe in that God, that spirit, that mystery, that power, that wisdom woman that is inside her. It's her voice, it's her wisdom. And you breathe it in. And as you breathe out, you let go of the worry. You make a decision to let go of the worry. And then I asked her to ask the question, "What is the loving thing for you to do today?" And I invite you to ask yourself that question. In the time that you have left today, what is the loving thing for you to do today? And perhaps you need to ask yourself, what is the healthy thing? What is the recovered thing for me to do today? Sometimes it is to make a cup of tea or to cut my toenails. Sometimes it is to close my eyes and listen. Right? What is the loving thing for me to do today? Not for my partner, not for my dog, not for my work, for what is the loving thing for me to do today? And on the phone, I got her to hold it just for 10 seconds. And then I whispered into that gentle space in that sponsor call, and I said, "What did anything come to you? Anything new?" "Sometimes no, but did anything come?" And she said, "Yes, I've got a meeting tonight that I haven't told you about, and I'm tired. I'm exhausted. And it came to me just then that I can leave early." And I said, "That's the spirit. That sounds healthy." Listening for the whispering voice, our voice, that's recovery. Recovery is where we pause and we listen. Life is calamity. The big book says calamity so often, the noisiness, and we chase it. We chase drama. We chase chaos. We chase it. We chase that noisy thinking. And it's sometimes hard to find the whispering voice. So if we try to sit still, what she was trying to do was to sit still and meditate. And she was trying to do like 20 minutes of meditation because someone told her somewhere 20 minutes of meditation, that's what you got to do. And it does not work that way for me. My brain can't do 20 minutes. Usually I can. I have done pretty intense meditation, but my brain can get distracted. What we need to do as recovering people is find that kind of micro meditation, what we just did then. Is it micro? Small, short. You shake it out to get aware of what's going on in my body. Oh, my knees sore, my shoulders are sore, my neck is tight. I was like, okay, just be aware of what's going on in your body. And then breathe from that diaphragm breath. Make a decision to breathe in love and compassion and qualities that you would yearn for. and make a decision to release the worry. Release the worry and the fretting and make a decision to do that. And then ask yourself, what is the loving thing for me to do today? And hold that question and listen just for a moment. And then as the intuition comes to you, you maybe write it down. And sometimes we do have to discuss it in sponsorship. Because my loving thing when I'm in my process addictions is always to fix things for someone else. I need to do this for them. I need to do this. I need to do this. I need to fix it for them because I'm in my disease. When I'm in that kind of thinking, that's the process addiction of drama, and chasing fixing it for them, for someone else. So that's my disease. And so I might need some help to release that thinking. This particular meditation is asking us to focus on self-care. It's asking you to find your relationship to your spirit. Step three says, made a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care. A lot of people miss that word and forget it's there. What is the loving thing for me to do today reminds me of self-care. What can I do today for self-care? Made a decision. Made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of that mystery, that power, that whispering voice inside of me, that God energy. And if I have done that, there will be self-care in my life. I will see it. Self-care for me as someone with food history is peeling carrots. I make a joke that it's very appealing. It's not. It's hard work because you have to get up and you have to do a lot of work to prepare the food so that you may have the grace of abstinence. Abstinence is beyond me. I can't force myself to be sober, abstinent, or clean because I can't will myself there. But you know what? That's the serenity. Today, I am sober, abstinent, and clean. And whatever Al-Anon calls it, I try to practice that. I don't even know what Al-Anon would call it. But I practice today sober, abstinent, and clean. And I pray today because I'm powerless over those items. I'm powerless. But every day I seek power. I have the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. I cannot change my reactivity and powerlessness in those areas. Courage to change the things I can. You know what I can do today? I can peel carrots. I got back from the US on Wednesday, and on Thursday, I had a brand new sponsee because that's what I do. I get myself, I mean, it's a temporary, I do 30 days with someone who's brand new because that's what I do. To get myself sober, to get myself back into alignment, I pray to keep in the thick of it because she is saving me. That's what we do. We pass the message on as best we can. So I'm powerless, step one. There is a power, step two. And just for today, see that power that I talked about in step two? Step two is that whispering voice. That's my voice. And the only way I can hear it is if I pause and I listen. Am I pausing today? Can you pause today? If you pause throughout your day, you are living in alignment, or you're trying to, you're building an alignment. So, steps one, step two. So, I'm powerless, there is a power. And just for today, I make a decision to turn my life over to that power, that care. So, I'm making a decision to engage in self-care. You may not want to, but you make a decision to do it anyway. That's going to mean sleep. What's happening with your sleep time today? It's going to mean restfulness. It's going to mean avoiding drama. as best you can. Now, some of us can't run away. Some other people have a grace to just leave and leave the situation, but some of us can't. We make a decision to stay. We have sick relatives, or we have a situation at home, or a chronic health issue. We can't run away. So now we have to hunker down and we have to stay. So we have to breathe. We have to work this program a little bit harder, because that reactivity, I'm going to be exposed to it every day. So every day I lean and I pray and I show up. I make a decision to turn my will and my life over to the power, that care, that grace. And that moves us into step four. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory. This is where we're at today. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory. So those that are new today, Eureka, you've made it. You just in one workshop have done steps one, steps two, step three, and now we're moving into step four. You're ready. Every day, whether you, my brand new sponsee that I'm working with, what, 2 days now, 3 days? Every day she has been doing all 12 steps all by herself. She just hasn't been doing a very good job, bless her. And she's calling out for help. Every day, whether we like it or not, in relapse or not, wherever we are, we're doing all 12 steps. Every day I need power. So you know what I do? I can call on that inner voice power, or I call on the power that I get from media, from news, from my telephone, screens, the power of drama when I open up, when I go to emails, right? I'm needing power to function. Every day I need power. This steps, what Bill put down, was a method of having an informed choice. Choose your power today. So we use my, I use my willpower to breathe. And so it's not about being good or having good meditation. It's just, did you do it? That's it. Yes or no, did you do it? And you need to do it multiple times a day, many times a day. I don't just need it in the morning and at night. I need it many times a day. So now moving into our work where we are today a little bit more. So we break step four up into four parts: resentments, fears, sex conduct, our relationship conduct, and shame. So there's four parts to our inventory work. And today we're looking at resentments. So if you're new or you're returning and you've had a bit of a break, today find something that bothers you in the last 24 hours, something that bothers you, someone that bothers you, something that bothers you, and you write it down. That's column one. That's the thing, the who, the what, the where. And you write down the why. Why is it bothering me? In three or four words. So I invite you to take a pen and a piece of paper and to write this down. Who is bothering you and why? This is column one and column two. And before we had our break, we had spent a few weeks looking at column three. So column three on page 65 of that big book, you can see those three columns. The who is bothering me? And write something down so you can practice. Just one thing. And then the why are they bothering me? And then you look at your column three. Column three is broken into seven dimensions. And what are those dimensions? Actually, someone can raise their hand who's got a form in front of them, because I don't have my form in front of them. First one is self-esteem. No. Yes, self-esteem and pride. Someone who is not a co-host. Ah, Marcia. Let me get you to unmute. There you go. What are those seven dimensions? Go ahead.
So self-esteem, pride, ambition, security, personal relations, gender relations, and pocketbook.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And actually, I'm going to call on you, if you don't mind, can I ask you? So you were new last week and introduced to this column work. Right. So I remember, because we had a little conversation. So doing this work, it's actually really difficult to sit with this worksheet. This worksheet is what bothers me, right? This is my what is bothering me. And I spend a lot of my life and a lot of my addiction energy avoiding this, because this is grief. This is fear. This is difficult. This is where I am really powerless. This is stuff going on that's really hard. It's really hard stuff. So the column three is where you describe what's going on and your belief system around it, or you really get into those different dimensions. What is my self-esteem? What is my pride? What is my ambition? What is it I want? What is it I need? And you really explore that as best you can, knowing that you're going to do a good job. You're not going to do a great job. The example that I give you, that's in the Way of Life document, I was teaching that for 2 years before, or for I don't know how long it was, before I looked at it and saw something different. I looked at it and realized there was a lot more behind what was going on. In the story, I was the turnaround, which we're coming to our discussion today. I was the co-worker. I at the end of the day, I had this delusional thought, although I didn't realize it at the time, and I thought it was revolutionary, realizing I was a co-worker and not, you know. It'll make more sense when I get to the end of it. But when I did today, I'll make more sense of what I'm talking about. But when years later, I look at that exact same worksheet, and now I've grown. My understanding has grown. My compassion has grown. My self-awareness has grown. And I realize I wasn't this woman's co-worker. I was her employer. I paid her money. I was her employer. And that made a huge difference to what was going on. Of course she wouldn't want me. The resentment was she hadn't invited me to her birthday party. How many of you would want your boss to see your dysfunctional family? Like how many of you would go up to your boss today and invite them to see how horrendous your parents are, or how your brother or sister, drinks too much or eats too much? Or raise your hand. Anyone? Anyone? Of course not. Oh, there's one. Oh, good on you. That's good. But this woman was nervous to have her employer at a birthday gathering. Of course, I had so much more compassion for her. But it took 2 years for me to even see that. I was teaching this work, sponsoring many, many years. I should know better. Anyone think that about themselves? I should know better. I should be able to see this. Well, no. We don't. We see it when we're ready to see it. And so have compassion and realize even when we think we know what's going on, there's usually more. So perfectionism is a dream. It's our disease. We're never perfect. Embracing the mess is what we do today. So, Marcia, I would love to call on you. The worksheet that you did as a new person last week, what did you take away from it? Or what can you say to those other people who are new and maybe approaching this work? What would you say? What was your experience last time? You're welcome to read anything that's in front of you, or just share your experience. I'd love to just hear from you. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Clarifying question, like the one that we discussed last week, the specific one, or anything?
It's up to you. Go ahead. Anything that moved you in the work that we've done.
Yeah, I think one of the things that really took me was actually how some of these things are like valid and like feeling some feelings, because a lot of my recovery is around owning my feelings versus stuffing them. And so this was like a very cathartic process for me. And I found it pretty fun to like be really dramatic and exaggerated about like, you know, what, how I want people to see me. I mean, I saw just how much respect I want. I mean, that just kept coming up over and over and over again. It was like, I just want to be respected. I just want to be respected. And yeah, it came through in like every single one almost. So just seeing that, was really, really interesting. And yeah, I found myself struggling with the gender relations a bit, and knowing exactly, you know, I thought, okay, I can't do this perfectly. I don't understand this. So I just skipped it, for most of them. And yeah, I didn't get around to doing myself because I wasn't sure, you know, how. So I get caught up in doing things right, like you're just talking about. But overall, you know, I found it really helpful to do just one a day, like, you know, just one person, or one resentment, and just let it go. So that's sort of what my process has been.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Marcia, that's just fabulous. So gender, let me pause for a minute and come to our greeter, just so she can introduce, and she's got a spiel there for the newer members, if you just want to pause for a minute, and then I'm going to come to some questions that Marcia raised for me as well. Go ahead, Steph, welcome.
Thank you. Hello, my name is Steph, and I'm your greeter here today. If you open up the Zoom chat, you will see a welcome pack there in a minute. This is free to download and includes information about this workshop, links, and other helpful podcasts. If you are having any technical difficulties or have any other questions, please let me know in the chat. And for those of you on the telephone today, this welcome pack is also available on our website resources page, www.bigbookworkshop.com. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Steph. So Marcia was just talking about this worksheet, column 3, and raising questions. So what I'd like to do is to talk to column 3 and invite other members to ask questions. So the questions I got from there were about gender relations and doing a column 3 on myself. So I'm going to talk to those two items. And let me just, before I start, just show you, this is the worksheet that we're working from, I believe. I mean, it might be a different version of it, but it's a column 3 worksheet, and it looks like this, some version of this, where we have the 7 dimensions running down: self-esteem, pride, ambition, security, personal relations, gender relations, and pocketbook. My step guide is Herb Kay, a dear fellow who I was able to meet in person last year. And for the first time, we've been working together almost 17 years, pretty close to 17 years. And the first time we met was last year, which was really special for me. And we met again last week, which was again special. And we're booked for next year. 21st of June, by the way, 2026, that weekend, if you want to come to California, I will be there. So, and Herb will be there. Hopefully he will be 86 then. So he's getting on in the world. So we pray, but we will be having a gathering in 21st of June next year. So welcome. You are very welcome to come. This is open for husbands and wives and family, like partners and children, like of not young children, but we had the first year we had parents coming with their adult children, and it was so special to see them doing the journey together. And this year we actually had about 4 or 5 couples. We had a few couples there. Am I right? It was a few of them, it seemed, and they were new. And having new people who don't know anything from anything, it's just precious. It was really, really special. And so we'll be meeting again next year, and I'm grateful for that. So he does this work here, and it looks different the way that he does it. So this is the worksheet that I use, and you're welcome to use it, reproduce it for your use, but just it is different to the way that Herb lays it out. I use it through the fear. You're going to see the same work replicated in the fear and the sex. So the same as we do our inventories, this is the worksheet that I use. And what you see on this worksheet is all the fears down here in this column, ready for your next inventory work around fear. And it works. Let me just close this screen share and go to that question there around gender. So if you look at the worksheet in front of you, does it have something for gender? Does it have something in there for gender? I invite you and I invite Marcia to put something down, and I'm going to give some models of how to do that. So let me have a look at my screen share again. This is the example that's in the Way of Life document. So you will have access to this. You don't need to write anything down. It's in the Way of Life document on the website. And if we jump to gender relations, number 6, the ideal woman at work should always, so this was an example, and it's maybe not the best way of doing it because I duplicated it. When I first did this, I would have said, perhaps, the ideal woman at work. So what's my, see, this was a work, a female at work. So what should they do? And I'm thinking about my female colleagues. If you think of your female colleagues, I'm a teacher and I work around a lot of women. A lot of women. In all, I work in adult education and schools. So I'm around a lot of women. So what are my expectations of an ideal colleague at work, a woman that I'm working with? What would those ideal qualities be? Well, I would expect her to be competent, good at her job, clear, not to waste time, right? Doesn't waste time, gets into the job, gets it done. Support other people, support other women. I expect women to support women, to value women, right? What is it you expect from the women in your workplace? And then go to really try to think about the nuance of it. And it's not going to be politically correct. Really push those expectations. What do I expect from the ideal man at work? Right? What do I expect from men in my work situation? Well, I expect them to be calm. I expect them to be protective. I'm sorry. I mean, you know, maybe I do. I expect them to be appropriate, not to be kind of inappropriate, definitely. I expect them to be, what is it I expect from men in a work situation? I expect them to support the women. I work with a lot of women. So I expect the men to like women and support women. Right? In my particular work environment, that's what I expect from the men that I work with, the ideal man. What's my fear around women? And I approach that because I am a woman, I approach it twice. The first time I approach it, I'm thinking about other women. And perhaps it's that they don't exist or they would never like to be with me, like they don't like me, right? They will always reject me. That sort of woman doesn't have any time to spend with me, like doesn't, something like that. But I approach it twice because now I am a woman at work. And when I work with men, they're men at work. So I get them to approach the ideal man twice. Once looking at men that they work with, and then we look at ourselves. So you read those same qualities and you think, do I do that? Am I like that? And maybe you are, by the way. Maybe you are. Or, and then as I have codependency or some Al-Anon people issues, I also have to review my ideal person. So my ideal woman is, look at what you wrote. Did you just describe a codependent in disease? Did you just describe someone who's always supportive, always running in, always ready to go to look after someone else? Is your ideal woman someone who's not healthy, who's in disease? Do you need to open up what it is to be an ideal woman? An ideal woman for me today pauses. She prioritizes self-care. She avoids drama. She shows up. Right? What are the qualities that we want to build towards an ideal woman? Those of us, I mean, working with people that have different orientation in terms of sexual partners and lifestyle, is the ideal woman someone with a picket fence and two kids or whatever it is? Is your ideal woman so limited that you can never achieve it? Like, is that limited idea that you've picked up? Not everyone is going to have the same journey. Not everyone. And yet, so looking at the ideal and recognizing, hey, my ideal is has a picket fence. And then my fear is I'm never going to break free of that stereotype. I'm never going to be happy. I'm never going to be able to be this woman. It will never be me. I have a little bit of, frenetic energy. I talk too much. I get too energetic. I'm sometimes a bit chaotic in how I approach life. You know, that's just part of me. Is my ideal woman someone who, this is what I have to approach. My ideal woman, a lot of times, is someone who's very calm, who's very stately in how she presents herself. Right, who has a very good home, you know, very neat home, right? Unfortunately, those aren't my qualities. Bless, bless, bless. My home is often quite chaotic, messy. It's a good mess, but it's got a bit of a creative mess everywhere, right? Not dirty, it's clean, but it's got a lot of mess. And so looking at my ideals, am I trying to beat myself up to be an ideal that isn't me? So that's for me what that gender is trying to get to. The ideals that I place, and the big turnaround for me was when I was working on my resentment at my mother, bless her, beautiful woman. I was very, very angry at her for very many years, like very, very angry. And then one day I was doing a worksheet like this, and it came to me, my dad, who is also a beautiful man, but it came to me, my parents are still together, and they're both beautiful people, just doing the best they can, and they're kind. I don't know how they manage to live without fellowship. Somehow they manage to raise the kids, pay the bills, and stay together. And I don't know. I don't know how they did it. I needed a fellowship in order to be able to put my life together. You know, I needed help. I needed spirit. I needed this work that we're doing today. But somehow my parents managed to get through, and I got to this point and I realized I was very, very angry at my mother. Mothers should protect their children. Because I have some trauma, you know, some things went on, and I was very angry. And one day, I saw that mothers should protect their children, but I didn't see my dad was there the whole time, and I didn't have that same expectation from him that fathers should protect their children. Why not? I realized that the expectation, the burden that I was putting on my mum. So the gender stereotypes and the expectations that we put on people, is it valid? Is it healthy? Are we burdening ourselves? Are we holding on to that expectation? She did the best she could. My dad did the best they could. It wasn't always enough. Right? This is why we have that gender in there. So we can break some of those stereotypes and start to open up for something new. Does that make sense? I'm just looking around. So what I'd like to do now, I don't see, what I'd like to do now is to go to a resentment against myself, and then I'm going to pause. So this is a resentment against myself. You will have access to this. I think it's actually page 63 of the Way of Life document. So you already have access to this. I'm going to read through it for those listening on the recording, and then we're going to pause for questions. The rest of this workshop will be just questions or the breakout room. If Ali feels brave, I'll let her have a go at it. All right? Just to practice. Because, you know, if you mess it up, we're here. We'll fix it. It's fine. Column one. So what I'm looking at is a column one, a third column around a resentment against myself. This is someone who did this work last year or the year before and donated it so we can share it. And we changed it a little bit. This is her version of the work. When I resent myself for my addictions and my anxiety and my depression. Right? I resent myself for having addiction. I resent myself for having depression, right? For being this kind of powerless person, and I resent myself. Does anyone identify with that? Yeah. You know, shake your hands. I'm trying to wake you up because we fall asleep and we get all sort of stagnant. And I try to get you to move and wake up, you know. Do you identify with this? Yes, yes, yes. So we do the set-aside prayer. We do some sort of prayer to bring in help, to remember that I'm powerless. There is a power. And just for today, I hand my will and my life, my way of handling it, I hand it over to the care, self-care. I don't hand it over to nothingness. I hand it over to care. So I can tell if I'm living in alignment with that spirit, I will be taking self-care actions. I will be pausing and I will be breathing because that is self-care. If I'm living in my self-will, I will be pushing myself through. That's a lack of self-care. That's self-reliance. It is not working for me. Every day I lean into power. The prayer on this page says, God, help me to see myself clearly. That was a prayer. Just asking for help. So the first dimension, there's seven of them. Self-esteem, pride, ambition, securities, personal relations, gender relations, and pocketbook. Self-esteem. I am an intelligent, capable, loving, compassionate woman. These are the assets that we're going to build. These are your assets. They're magnificent. What's my fear? That I'm not good enough? That if people really knew me, they would reject me. Pride. Others should see me. So when you do myself, those of you that are new, what you're looking at is this question here. Others should see me treating myself. Right? So others are looking at how you treat yourself. And this is what they should see. This is what you want them to see. Whether or not you do it is another matter, because a lot of us live in the fear. But this is what we want people to see. This is pride. I want people to see me treating myself as a woman with healthy boundaries, able to say no. Able to balance a busy work and a busy life. That's what I want people to see. The words say here, others should see me treating myself as a woman with healthy boundaries, confident, relaxed, at ease with myself and others, managing my life well. Anyone identify with that? That's what I want people to see. What's my fear? So this is a particular kind of fear. I'm afraid or ashamed or embarrassed. That's how I sometimes access it. What am I embarrassed people will see? That will help you capture the pride. I'm embarrassed or afraid that people will see that I'm a mess, that I have made a failure of my life. Now that you can use any words, it's whatever words come to you, but that's the context or that's the gist of what we're aiming for. Ambition. I want myself to live free of addiction, mentally and emotionally well-balanced, a recovered person. That's my ambition. What's my fear? That I will never be free of my past mistakes. I will never be free of my illness. This is deep. This is beautiful work. Right? This, you could meditate on every single one of these items and just sort of sit in the thinking, how does this relate to me? Security. Notice that the why, the question there, I suggest that you ask yourself the question, for me to be okay. What is it I need for me to be okay? What, just okay. What we're accessing here is emotional sobriety. What we're accessing here is what knocks you off that beam of being sober, that balance beam. It knocks you off. It blocks you from the sunlight of your spirit. So what you're accessing here is an Achilles heel that you can pray for. And what have we written here? I need to live a recovered life free of addiction and mental illness for me to be okay. Some of us, I need, so if we look at, we keep bringing it back to column one and two. So if I resented myself for having, for living in addiction, for my history in addiction, what is it I need? I could say, you know, I need to have never had addiction for me to be okay. I need to have never impacted the people in my life for me to be okay. I need to have never lived the way that I have lived for me to be okay. And the fear, I will never be free. I will never be okay. Do you see that? I will never be free of my mistakes, of what I've done. I will never change. The fear that's written in this worksheet, that I won't preserve my recovery, that I will always be unstable. I will never be free from this lack of stability, because it may be real. If you have mental illness, this may be part of your journey. This is not Disneyland where we get to the end of the road and everything's perfect. Or what is that, Dorothy with the Wizard of Oz? This is life. Life includes chronic illness, death, you know, divorce, children that are very unhappy or broken. Like, life is not easy. And so a lot of our fears are real. These are real fears. And that's why this inventory work is followed by a fear inventory. We'll be doing that soon. So hold on to that space, pray, breathe in, and trust. This is the work of finding recovery and finding your space, your connection to spirit, your freedom. Freedom not from life, but freedom from the constant chasing of trying to fix myself and fix them and fix this disease. Freedom from that story. So number five, personal relations. I expect women to recover from their addictions. I expect women, this is the work, to obtain excellent mental health and let go of their past. My fear that I will always be sick, that I will always be subjected to feelings of guilt and shame and remorse. gender relations. An ideal woman should always feel proud of herself and manage her life well. An ideal man should always feel proud of himself and manage his life well. So you can do this where you use the same expectation in both. I think sometimes it might be a lazy, you know, because often we do have different expectations from men and women. I would just want to say that. But sometimes this is what we expect, and the differences come out in the fear. See, here the fear is the same as well. So I would have suggested perhaps the fear, if your expectations are the same, then I'd want to see differences in the fear. Okay, so my fear is maybe if I'm a woman, I will never be free. Just this simple. I know you've said it before, but maybe that's it. I will never be a healthy woman. I will never be free. I will never manage this addiction in my life. I'll always be just on the cusp of disease. Or maybe the fear is I will hurt the people I love. You know, what's my fear? And maybe the fear with the man, maybe the fear is I'll never be safe, like physically safe. If you've got a man with mental illness, maybe that I can never trust them, or I can never trust myself. So really do try to find what are the differences in gender. Do look at this, because it will hold you back. We do have different expectations from men and women. And so explore them and play around. There's no right or wrong. And every time we do the worksheet, we may come up with different answers. It doesn't matter. Just explore. The last one, pocketbook. What is impacted? So the pocketbook in the olden days, if you had money in the pocketbook, was where you kept your money. And if you had money in that pocketbook, you felt safe. Anyone identify that? When you have money in your bank account, you feel safe. It's a delusion. We are never safe. Anything can happen at any moment, but it's this feeling of safety. That's what we're capturing in pocketbook. And this particular disturbance, it affects my emotional security. That for me, I might put in brackets myself. Emotional security, that self-worth is what's been written here. My emotional security, perhaps because I've always got this addiction, maybe I'll always, self-loathing, like I'll always be vulnerable to my self-loathing. That's my emotional security. I'll never be free of self-loathing. So the safety, I'll never feel safe. So in the first bracket, I invite you to keep it simple in that first column and just write emotional security. And then to remind myself, I might put in brackets vulnerable to self-loathing, like or self-loathing, or the person here has written self-worth, right? And in the fear, I might write, I'll never feel safe from my own self-loathing. Do you know how that impacts my self-esteem? It impacts my emotional security, safety. This particular one impacted financial security because I was perhaps unable to work. Ability to support myself and manage my life. Perhaps I'm unmanageable with money. I don't remember the individual. So this is your journey. So she was identifying emotional security and financial security. So you just write that. And then in the fear, you really talk about, I'll never feel safe around money. I'm afraid that I will make reckless decisions, or that I'll never recover from decisions I've made in the past financially. I will never be free. I will never feel safe. And this may be real. Real financial insecurity is a real thing that hits, you know, it's real. So I'm not saying that it's going to disappear, but what you're doing here is writing it down and taking an inventory so you can be free. The third column, I sometimes describe it as an anchor, and I'm in the ocean and I'm drowning. And that anchor is a weight and it's pulling me down, and I'm treading water as best I can, but I'm drowning. That's what that third column is. It's the story that drowns me. And it's real. These are real fears, real sadness, real trauma. And I have trouble letting go. That's my carrot. We're going to get to that in column four. I have trouble releasing that anchor. And that's why we do this inventory. That's the magic of this work. That we write it down as tough as it is, and then we release. We release it. And that's the work we're moving to today. That is the turnaround. So I'm going to pause now in all this talking that I've been doing and invite some small breakout rooms, please. If you could do breakout rooms with three or four people, small group. And then when you go into a breakout room, one person please be the chair and the other person is the timer. So the chair calls on the names of who's speaking and the timer uses a 2-minute timer and you just take 2 minutes and just time yourselves. And I invite you to share anything from you've heard today or your work. And if you're new, you can just share how you came here today, anything. Just share, be part of the community and share. You are welcome. Just a very short, small breakout room. Allie, I don't see you anymore. Are you ready to go? Are you here?
No, Allie, I had to leave for work. I'm here.
Oh, for work. Oh, bless. Steph, you're up. So we'll pause the recording. Thank you so much and welcome back from those breakout rooms. It's coming towards the end of the meeting. What I'm going to do now is the topic today was turnaround. We were a bit too preemptive because we didn't get to the turnaround. We didn't get to the turnaround. The turnaround is column four. So we will get to that next week. For the Thursday group, for me, Steph, I want to change the title because we didn't get to turn around at all. It was a review and resentment against self, which I'd forgotten to do. So that's what was our topic today. I want to take a moment. This group, we actually have monthly. I haven't done the Pass the Basket for a long time. And we have monthly bills. Every month of the year, we pay for the email service that you get. Those of you that get a text message, we pay for that. It's not much, but we pay for it. The website and the web hosting. And we have to pay for web security. So we have all these little things that we pay for to make our life easy. So we're not profit making, but we take donations. So please do consider supporting this group. It is Pass the Basket, and if Steph can talk to that for a moment, go ahead.
Yes. So this group is fully self-supporting through your own or our own contributions. We rely on your support each week, and your contribution helps, and we are grateful. You can make an anonymous donation using the link that is posted in the chat. And just a gentle note, I also posted the homework assignment for this week in the chat.
Thank you so much, Steph. So thank you so much, everyone. I am able to hang around today. So if you do have questions, you can hang around. I will close with a prayer for those of us that need to go, but I won't close the recording and invite you, if you want to ask any questions. But some of us do need to head off. So I just want to say thank you to those members that showed some courage in going into those breakout rooms and the work that we do showing up, even if we have to leave for work. I know those of us in Australia have to sometimes leave early for work and they listen to the recording. And some of us come home from work and so we're distracted and maybe we listen to the recording. You just do the best you can. But community, a path, a teacher, a community. The path for me is letting go of self-reliance. Every day I forget, and this reminds me, you remind me, these steps remind me. The teacher is to be teachable, to be open, to have sponsors and step guides in my life today, and to be open to listen. And a community that's a people just like me who are ferociously doing the work. That's what you are. Was that Valerie who had done all this work? That is ferocious. And I am glad to have ferocious people. Marcia, who came last week for the first time, and she's been doing one a day. How many of us were intimidated by that? I haven't done one a day. It's like, oh my gosh, that's the energy of the newcomer. We need that, the rest of us. So I'm glad you got on and shared that. We all need a little bit of that energy. Can you spread it around here? That's great. Thank you. So yeah, you don't have to do anything. You don't actually, if you're new, have to do any of the work. Just listen, and just the listening and the sharing will open your heart. So if you're tired, if you're not confident with what you're doing, just listen. Just listen. All right, pause for a minute for the prayer. The chat is open, but if you could pause for a minute for that serenity prayer. And then if you do have a question after the prayer, please raise your hand. And I'm closing with that serenity prayer, calling on that God voice, that energy, that whispering energy inside of me. Please grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you so much, everyone. I won't pause the recording just now. We'll keep the recording going. If you do need to go, if it's late at night or early in the morning and you have to get to work, please do that. The chat is open. We have a few people available for Step Guide. That is fabulous. Pay attention. If you need connection, if you need support, use that chat to put some details in the chat. The homework is there. Is there anyone who does have a question with moving forward? Just wave at me or raise a hand. I'm happy to. I'd love to hear from you. Anything that came up in that breakout room? Otherwise, we will close up, but I just want to give you a moment to ask a question. I'm happy to lean into that. We have a hand. Who's that? Kathy. Welcome, Kathy. Oh, wait. Let me just get you unmuted. You were, and then I muted you by mistake. Can you unmute now? Try, there you go.
Hi, I'm Kathy from Jacksonville, Florida. Love this workshop. Thank you so much for doing all this work. Somebody said that there is a step guide that we can get. Is that different than the Way of Life PDF? How do you get that?
Can I get Cheryl just to talk to step guides? Cheryl H, I think we have a few Cheryls, but Cheryl H, if you could just talk to it. I might get that you can unmute.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. I'm Cheryl H. What a step guide is, my understanding, is someone who's done the work before, been in a prior workshop. And so they have an idea of how to do it. And I know when I was first in it, and even now, there are times where I get stuck and I'm not sure if I'm hitting as much. Joanne will always talk about hitting the bullseye. She'll talk about sometimes pushing it a lot. I know if I hit the bullseye, maybe a different word, it's a way for someone to help me maybe see something a little bit different. It's not for a way, I volunteered to be a step guide, and it's not for a way for me to tell you what to do, how to do it, watch over you to do it. It's more someone would do the work, you know, the column work. And then mm-hmm. I would meet with them and they would read it to me. And I would say it's clear or it's not clear, because that's what we're really looking for, is clear or not clear. And for me, I know it was very helpful, because it's confusing. Even though I think I would hear Joe say it, even if I've done it 10 times, sometimes my mind will go off a different way. And I just need someone to help me kind of focus and make sure things are clear. So that's what a step guide is. And really, I probably, anyone who's been in the workshop before is qualified to be a step guide, I think I've heard Joe say. So that's my understanding.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your sharing. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Cheryl. And we've got another Cheryl in here, Cheryl M. Do you want to talk to step guides and what that is for you in your life? I thought I see two Cheryls that have some history here. You want to share, Cheryl? Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah. Very much like what Cheryl said, a step guide can guide us and say, yeah, whether the work is clear or not. That's why the small groups are very helpful, because someone could read something out and someone could say, oh, it's not quite clear, or you know, someone could be getting into self-loathing, and it's more like this, like the perceived role is this way, and it can just make it all a lot clearer, instead of being, it can get a bit jumbled in my head, the whole working through the resentment. So it's good to have feedback.
Thank you, Cheryl. Now, I was just answering some questions in the chat privately, but does anyone else have a question? I didn't see the main chat. Are there any other questions that are coming? Sean, or is it Shauna, or is it Shauna? Welcome. Oh, wait, you just muted yourself again.
I know. Hi, I'm hoping to go next year to meet you in California. So I'm excited about that. But my question is, do you ever have get-togethers from the U.S. going to Australia?
Do you know? I was talking with my sponsor just yesterday, and she has suggested a venue that would work really beautifully. So I am just looking at doing one potentially next year. Because I'm not very well known in Australia, which is kind of funny because I live here, but most people are from the US. And this is why I haven't done too much work in Australia. I don't like to be, Herb opens the way for me. I don't like to fight. I don't like to be too loud amongst the community that I live in, because, you know, I'm one of many, and it's hard sometimes when you live in a place to do this work, but maybe that's my head and I will do it anyway, and we will see. So I have been in talks, and there is a place nearby that does work, and Herb won't be with us forever. So I will continue this work, but I'm not very good at spreading. We need people to come to make it viable. And I'm not very good at that. So we sort of need to, I don't know, if you know how to communicate the message, that's get people to turn up, that would be helpful. Because yeah. it takes a community to just get it off the ground.
Right. Well, I was just checking to see if you were even interested in something like that.
I'd love to.
Yeah, let's keep a door open. And yes, and that might, you know, I always love to see what God has and planned, you know?
Yeah. Well, there's a beautiful venue near where I live in Templestowe that's in the mountains. I mean, it's in Templestowe in Melbourne. It's one of the suburbs, but it's quite secluded and mountainous, and they cater for it. And it's quite lovely. I've been there before. So that is what I'm looking at now. So I'll just see what their dates are, what their costs are, and we'll see.
Oh, I love that. Thank you. Thank you for everything, by the way, Joe. Thank you.
You're so welcome. All right, last call. Questions. I want to say thank you to Eva, who I see there, and Tammy, who did come to the retreat last week. Anyone else? Anyone got a question? Last call. Christine D., did you want to say something? You want to just welcome to the group?
Hi, everyone. I'm Christine, and I'm so grateful for the gift that was given to me. And I wish that I had jumped on it sooner, because, or maybe this is just my timing. So I'm just so grateful, because that inspiration came Saturday, that I had to do something different. So I'm just so overwhelmed, and there's hope again. So thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, please. Yeah. A path, a teacher, a community. If we miss out on one of those things, it's not going to work for me. Right? It might work for other people, but not for me. And it's very hard because the outside world is pushing self-reliance. I'm going to teach you how you can regulate yourself better. Right? And that's what I want to do anyway.
No.
I don't want to have to rely on anything. I want to be self-reliant. Like, and our trust gets broken time and time again, and I break my own trust. So that lack of trust and the breakdown there, I can't trust people, so I shut down and I become anorexic in my relationships and I become so controlling in my behavior. But then when I try to open up, I have no boundaries, and I trust people who break my faith and break my trust because I do the flip. That's not what recovery is. We don't trust in people. People are just doing the best they can, and they're just human. My job in working this different path is to let go of self-reliance, to let go of human reliance. That includes my sponsor and the people around me. They're just human beings. Bless them. They're doing the best they can. But it's not always enough. Right? And sometimes it's not healthy. So I breathe in. What I'm looking for is to trust in that inner quiet voice. That is my connection to the spirit. And I can only connect to it when I pause and I breathe and I let go of calamity. The big book uses that beautiful word, calamity. So every day, many times a day, finding that whispering voice and listening again and listening again so that it can direct me through my day. What is the loving thing for me to do today? Is it to get up and have a cup of tea? As I often instruct my sponsees to do, just get up and put the kettle on, like, because it moves you and it gives you a job to do, keeps your hands busy for at least a minute, which breaks whatever obsession I was in, like breaks the obsessive thinking. So as I often get people to do a task, I'm powerless. There is a power. That power can be many things, by the way. Each of us in this room can have a different understanding of what power is, and that is magnificent. Hold on to that. Every one of us, you don't have to have a perfect idea of power to get well. We just show up, imperfect as we are. So thank you for closing us out and for speaking up. That, you know, steps 1, 2, and 3, I'm powerless. And then we take that inventory and you saw I'm getting overwhelmed. And then when you speak up, that's a fifth step. I'm feeling overwhelmed. So you admitted it to us. That's inventory. And that's fifth step. Now, step 6, am I willing to change what is creating that overwhelm? Am I willing to change something, some little thing where I have some power, the courage to peel carrots or to unplug the phone or to get to bed early? What is it? Where can I have some courage? You know, where can I do some work? Because I'm powerless over addiction and I'm powerless over my unmanageability, but where can I have some courage and do some jobs to practice that ferocious willpower, the proper use of the will, the big book says. That's step 6. Am I willing to let go of being overwhelmed? Being overwhelmed is kind of addictive, like being in fear. It's hard to let go of it because it feels like adrenaline, like when you go to a theme park and you go on a roller coaster and you get adrenaline. It feels good. Well, we don't feel good when we're overwhelmed, but it does release adrenaline, and that kind of feels good too. even though it's terrible? Am I willing to let go of that adrenaline and get out, get up? So I'm going to invite you, you know, to get up and get a cup of tea. Not now, but in a moment. Move your body. Put some music on and dance. Move. Okay? And that's their homework. Am I willing? That's where we can have courage to move. Step six, am I willing to let it go? The payoff. The payoff to chaos is adrenaline. Am I willing to let go of that high adrenaline all the time? It's really hard to do. Step seven, this is where we pause. My creator, I am now willing that you have all of me, the good and the bad. All of me, all of you, all of it. I'm now willing to let go of holding back. You know? My creator, I'm now willing that you have all of me, the good and the bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character, including this overwhelm, right? Which stands in the way of my usefulness to you. That's to the spirit. I'm not useful to my spirit when I'm in my character defects. It stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. It blocks me from relationships and people. Grant me strength as I go out from this meeting here today. Grant me strength because I need strength right now to do your bidding, to listen and pray and lean in to that whispering voice. Amen. Thank you so much. I invite you to unmute those of you that were able to stay back and say farewell, and then we'll close the recording. Thank you. Thank you. Sending some energy your way and invite you to kind of shake it out right now. Shake it out. Shake it out. Shake it out. Bye-bye. Say bye-bye for the recording and we'll pause. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
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 Have a good week.
Yeah.